You've been there. Exodus chapter 20 is where we want to go. Been looking at Christian living and the Ten Commandments. And I've enjoyed going through this. I hope it's been a help to you as some of these things are not that we haven't ever heard of them, but how to apply them is a good time, is good to be reminded of, or maybe it is the first time to consider that. We've looked at the right priority here in verse number 3, the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, the right worship. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and etc. in verse 4. Verse 7, the right language. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And here we are in verse 8 and following. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We looked at this last week here in verses 8 through 11, talking about the right remembrance of the holy. And the Bible tells us, let's just read the whole passage here, verse 8 through 11. Would you read that with me? Let's read that together, verse 8 to 11 in Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So what was the day that we discovered in the Bible? Where did that come from? Well, we saw some history behind the Sabbath. As the children of Israel entered into the wilderness, as they were leaving Egypt, God right away began to provide for them. And his provision in the wilderness came in the form of manna. What they call manna, literally meaning, what is it? And he brought it down to the ground, and in the morning it was there for them to gather. We saw Israel's responsibility with the manna was to gather it daily. They were to gather it proportionately, enough for every person in their household, or tent hold, I guess you could say. How much were they supposed to get per person, by the way? 2 omers is what they said, what the Bible says, which added up, most say, 2 liters, dry liters. That's a lot of food for a person, but that's what they were supposed to have each day. There was to be no leftovers. Don't keep it overnight. On Friday, they were supposed to gather twice as much per person, so that Saturday they would not gather any at all. Saturday being the Sabbath. All right, so that's where we're at. And God's purpose behind the manna and Sabbath, we saw this right here in verse number 11. It spells that out. In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and then he rested on the seventh. This is to honor him as well as to follow his example. The Bible tells us in Exodus 16 is that they were to be distinctly God's, that the whole rest of the nations around them would see they belong to the Jehovah God. Then we saw, this is the verse I didn't have the chapter, I'm sorry, but chapter 16, if you want to go there real quick, verse 35. And the reason why, another reason why they had manna, was so that he didn't die. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. So for survival. Also we saw in the New Testament a Christ's incarnation coming in the flesh, and the beginning of his church ended the Sabbath observance. Jesus himself and his disciples, they did not always observe it. Did they sometimes? Probably. It's not all recorded in Scripture. Not every weekend they had was recorded in the Bible, but I'm sure they did. But there were times they didn't, and that's the times that the Bible seems to point out. And he says the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Then in Colossians chapter 2, the New Testament church was not to regard any particular day, even the Sabbath day, as a means of righteousness and so forth. By the way, Sunday doesn't, just because I come to church on Sunday, does that mean I'm righteous before God? I'm doing something right, But that doesn't necessarily make me righteous. What makes me righteous is having an open and right relationship with Him, so that sin and so forth is taken care of through confession, forgiveness, etc. But that is a right thing. It's just not necessarily, doesn't make you righteous. Like somebody said, just because you are standing inside of a garage doesn't make you a car. Yeah, so same thing. The Bible tells us, though, that it is important to honor the Lord. We're going to look at that tonight. And that is through holy things, or holiness, the dedication of things to God. We looked in Exodus 3, 12 and 15, yeah, and how God said He claimed certain things were holy, like remember the ground that Moses stood on and other things that were considered holy, not necessarily people, but they were dedicated, they were set aside to God. That's where we're at tonight. We're going to look at this some more about holy things that the church is to dedicate to God. What are some holy things God expects you and me to set aside and dedicated to Him? We're going to look at two of them tonight, and then we'll look at some more next week. But let's go ahead and pray before we get started. Let's ask God's help before we do. Lord, every time we look in the Bible, we need Your eyes. We need Your Holy Spirit. We need, Lord, we ask that You would remove us and let the Spirit of God speak to the soul. And I pray even tonight would be a night like that. Yes. Pray, Father, that You'd help us to make a decision for You, even as we're studying here, how this might affect just our daily lives. Lord, what can we do to better honor and dedicate, make things holy to You? We ask for Your help now, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Holy things. The church is to dedicate to God. Now, let me explain. When I say the church, I'm talking about those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's who we're talking about. We're not talking about the buildings, the lampshades, or anything like that. It's the people that we're talking about, the congregation. So let's take a look here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's start there. 1 Corinthians 6, let's go there. Whoops, let's go the right way here. 1 Corinthians 6, and look at verse 11. We'll start in verse 11 there. Give that fish a little drink if he needs it. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 6. Here's what the Bible says, reading down to verse 14. The Bible says, "And such were some of you." He's talking to the church in Corinth. He's talking to those who've accepted Christ. They're striving to do right. Not all of them do, but here's where he explains, "You're no longer part of this crowd," in verse 9 and 10, which includes thieves or drunkards or revilers, etc., abusers of themselves, etc. You're not part of that crowd anymore. You've been saved. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. But you are sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What Spirit is he talking about there in verse 11? The Holy Spirit. Yes, exactly. I knew you were thinking it, so I just I shared it out loud. "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power." Here we see that the body is something God desires us to dedicate to him. It belongs to him. God's purpose for our sanctified body is to, here's the blank, honor him, to honor him. He says, since you're no longer a part of this group, this crowd, this unsaved lifestyle, here's what you need to do. You need to give yourself over to God. The Bible says, verse 13, "Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." God's purpose for our sanctified body is to honor him. What does sanctification mean, by the way? Anybody know that? To separate, yes, similar in holiness, similar in the meaning of being separated from one particular thing to another. And he says you need to sanctify yourselves, especially your body, to the Lord. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 19. Let's go down there. Would somebody read verse 19 and 20 for us? 6, 19 and 20.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's.
Okay, thank you very much. So the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, he purchased our redemption and body on the cross. Notice the words there in verse 20. You are bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. The label, I was looking at Trenton's leather jacket tonight to see if it was real leather. It said made in China. So you be the judge. I don't know if it was the real leather or not. Chinese leather, I guess, you know. But the point is, the label on us now, the ownership, is the Lord Jesus. That should be how we see ourselves physically. And of course, this extends to everything physical. Every material thing that we have is his. He purchased our redemption and body on the cross. Number three here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go back to chapter 3. Would somebody read verse 16 and 17 of 1 Corinthians 3? Okay, sound good. Would you read verse 16 also, please?
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Okay, thank you. So similar to what we just saw there in 1 Corinthians 6, but a little bit addition to it, and that is this. The Holy Spirit dwells in our body that we might properly worship, obey, that's the blank, obey, and serve God. Properly worship, obey, and serve God. Is it easier to obey God in our own power or in the power of the Holy Spirit? It's easier to obey him when we're surrendered to the Spirit of God. It's a joy to do. It's, as the Bible says, the commandments of the Lord, they're not grievous. Well, they're only not grievous when we're surrendered to the Spirit of God and doing what he says. Otherwise, they become a burden to us. Oh man, I got to do that again. Got to get up again. and go to church or whatever. The Bible says the Holy Spirit was given to us for many reasons, but this is one of them, that we might properly worship, obey, and serve God, dedicating our body to God. Final thought is in Romans 12 and verse 1. Let's go there. We'll all read that together. Romans 12, verse 1. You might know it by heart. Let's share that together, please, as we go. Here, verse 1, let's read it out loud together. I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Submitting our body to God is the intelligent decision. Reasonable service means this. It's wise, it's smart, it's the intelligent thing to do. So if we don't submit our bodies to the Lord, if we don't submit ourselves physically to the Lord, what is the Bible telling us? What kind of a decision is that? It's unreasonable at best, but it's foolish as we consider what that meaning is. It is your reasonable service. It is the right, but it's also the intelligent, smart thing to do. Submitting our body to God is the intelligent decision. You know, sometimes we look at young people and say, man, they're just not using their bodies for the right thing, and that can be true. But did you know, as we grow older, we can still do the same thing? You know, we have air. How many have ever had aches and pains before? Yeah, okay. Sometimes it sounds like when we're talking to people that's all we think about is our aches and pains. And there are times, of course, when they're more intense than others, but we need to get on this idea that our body, even if it's broken down, still belongs to the Lord.
Right.
Someday it's gonna be renewed, amen?
Right.
Someday it's gonna be perfect, and all these things will be gone and changed, but it still belongs to the Lord. Even in its state that it is, we need to see that we need to submit it and sacrifice, living sacrifice to him. Submitting our body to God is the intelligent design. That is something God desires and expects out of the Christian to dedicate to Him. What's another thing that He expects the church to dedicate? Let's take a look. The Lord's Day, what does that mean? Well, if the Sabbath day is no longer in observance in the New Testament, what are we supposed to do? A particular day for worship is not designated for the church. Particular day is not designated. Jesus didn't say, I want you to worship on the first day. And no, there's no place in the scriptures that says, this is a command from God that we meet this day. Something interesting to consider. However, gathering together is in the scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 10. And maybe we can have someone read verse 23 to verse 25, please. Hebrews 10. What do you think, Aaron? Can you read that for us? Chapter 10, verse 23 to 25 in the book of Hebrews. So let me give you the blanks here as he's looking that up in Hebrews 10. 23 to 25. We gather for, and here's what we're going to hear, steadfastness, love, good works, exhortation, and expectation of Christ's return. That is the command. How are we doing? We there? Chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. Don't take my word for it. Let's hear what the Bible says. Okay, thank you very much. So gathering together, it has these kinds of benefits, that your faith, your desire for the Lord, your steadfastness in the truths of the Bible just stays anchored, steadfastness, and even grows. Then love, which every Christian needs. Let me ask you this, how many Christians does the world love? How many Christians does the world love? None of them. None of them. The world doesn't love Christians because why? Because we share the truth of Jesus Christ and that sin has to have an accountability. And out of love, we should be doing it out of love, amen. Yeah. And that, but God, obviously Satan tries to influence them against that truth. So we need to love one another. Good works, doing something that is honoring to God. And there's many things we could share, good works, teaching, preaching, nursery working, cleaning, bringing somebody to church, you name it, anything. Just coming to church is a blessing. All that can be included as it's done for the Lord. Exhortation that is exhorting, that is instructing what God says to do for our church and for our time or whatever as we share the Word of God, exhortation. And expectation of Christ's return. And we talk about it a lot. Why do we talk about the Lord's return a lot? Because He could come back today. He could be here anytime. And that would be a blessing. And I'd miss that buck on Friday, but that's okay. That's okay. I'd be in heaven. Man, I don't know. There's got to be big deer in heaven, don't you think? That we just, I don't know. I'm not going to stop right there. I'm not going any farther than that. But these are things that are commanded for the church to do. Now, the New Testament church did do that. When did they typically do it? Let's find out. I've got several verses here. Let's have some help. John chapter 20, verse 19. Who would read that? All right, Sister Carolyn's going to do that. Then we have Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. All right, Abigail's got that. Then we have Romans 14, 5 and 6. Who's got that? Romans 14, 5 and 6. All right, thank you, Luke. And then 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. How about Vicki here? She's got it. All right. And then we'll all finish in Revelation. Revelation 1, verse 10. The New Testament church, here's the thought. The New Testament church practiced this gathering on what day? Sunday, as we know. In honor of Christ's resurrection. Let's hear about that. John chapter 20, verse 19 is where we'll start. This is the Lord speaking here.
Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you.
Okay, thank you very much. Anybody know what day that is in John 20, verse 19? It's Sunday. Well, what day is it? What other? It's the day he rose again. It's the same day he resurrected. He met with them later that day as they were gathered together, the Bible says, on the first day of the week. Some were not there, it points out in the next verse, and we know Thomas was one of them. But right off the bat, Jesus met them on the first day. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Let's see what the New Testament church did. Okay, thank you. That was a long service. Bible says he began to preach and he waited until, continued till midnight. Whatever time they started, it was a long day. And it was interesting what happened after that. But it was the first day of the week, the Bible says, when they gathered together. And the indication was this is something they did regularly. Romans chapter 14, verse 5 and 6 gives us an understanding of why, you know, why this particular day. Okay, thank you very much. Romans 14 tells us that we gather together, we consider this the Lord's Day, we dedicate it to Him. That's what we do on Sundays. And everyone needs to make a decision if they're going to agree with that, if they're going to, yes, I consider that as well, a dedicated day to the Lord. This is not the day I'm going to go mow grass and, you know, skip everything else and make it a vacation day that a lot of people do. But that it belongs to Him and have to be considered that as well. That's a big decision for some people. It is. Especially if you're a new Christian and you're not used to doing anything on the weekends except for whatever, taking care of things around the house or whatever you got to do. And it needs to be. Now for me, I was going to church when I was young and I can't remember too many Sundays I didn't go to church. Especially when I wasn't sick. If I was sick, that's different. But man, if you're not sick, you better be in church, buddy. My mom was sure about that. I'm thankful for that. But why is that? Well, because that's the day we dedicate it to the Lord in agreement with our local assembly of believers. That makes sense? And God certainly uses the testimony of the New Testament church that this is something that is in honor of Jesus' resurrection that day he rose again. Let's go to Revelation together. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 16. Let's hear from there first.
Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come.
Okay, thank you very much. Again, here in even in Corinth, it was normal for them to gather on Sunday, on the first day. Here, Paul describes something that they did on Sunday, is gather an offering, the offerings they were bringing together. The particular offering he was talking about was for Jerusalem at the time and others that were in need financially as missionary work. But he certainly expected them, along with your other gatherings, don't forget to take this for those that are in great need around you. Revelation 1, let's go there. Let's all read that together. And let's look at verse number 10. Would you read that with me, please? Revelation 1, this is John the Apostle writing in the first person as the Holy Spirit reveals these things to him. Let's read that, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. This is the only place in the Bible that the first day of the week is referred to as the Lord's day. Only place. It's not mentioned anywhere else. But most understand reading the scriptures, putting together what we know about the New Testament church, he was obviously referring to Sunday, the first day, as the Lord's Day. And we still do that today. By the way, does that mean Wednesday is a holy day as well? And where did that start? Well, with some of the research that I did, there's ideas all over the map about this. But certainly the New Testament church was known for times of prayer, specific times. Remember when Peter was in jail, and the Bible says the church gathered together to pray, and they prayed through the night, and of course God answered their prayer and released, and Peter was released by an angel, led to the house there. Well, prayer was certainly something that the New Testament church did regularly. There's no doubt about that. Did they have a particular night they met, or did they just meet when the need seemed to arise? We don't know. During the 1800s, when a lot of these revivals we see in the history, the revival of, it's called the prayer revival, I think it's of 1859 or something like that, which is ironic, it was right before the Civil War. But it started in America by a businessman who took 1 hour of the day during the lunch hour to pray. And that's what he did. And I think it was on a midweek day. I don't remember exactly, but it wasn't every day. It was one particular day in the week. And men would begin to gather, and it became a great revival. You can read about it in history. So other times, whatever it was that brought churches together and said, you know what, we need to have a dedicated time of prayer amongst the week, because 6 days in between is just too much. Too much. And would you agree with that? Thank God we can gather together, we can pray, study the scriptures a little bit together, and just encourage one another. That's kind of, as I understand it, where that began. Now, we meet on Wednesdays when we moved to Michigan. That was weird, because in Utah we met on Thursdays. And I don't know if they still do it today on a Thursday, but that was our midweek service, was Thursday night. So the particular day, it seems, is not the most important, but the fact that it is done is helpful to the church. So, yeah, if you got some interesting history on that, I would love to hear about it. But again, there's all kinds of ideas where it might have started. But here we are today. Now we do it. Yes, we do it out of tradition, but you know what? Not all traditions are bad. Amen.
That's right.
In fact, some of them are very good and important. But here we are, meeting in God's name, trying to, on behalf of others as well. So next week, we'll look at a couple more things that we want to dedicate to God that the Bible talks about for His church, the body of Christ. Let's go find a partner or two. Let's pray about these things tonight.